So why don't we get together after the dance?
Oh, oh, what a free thing.
When I first saw his mind, was looking good on the soul train. So good that I came back in school and I saw him there. He was dancing good, spinning. She moves, she's so divine. She's moving so free. Can't leave now. What she needs is me. I want you, and you want me.
So all right, and Elliot, good morning. That is not your stage name. Please tell it to the audience.
Peace, y'all. What's good? This is Elder Sensei from the Artifacts. Good morning.
Oh, man, good morning. You know, people talking about 50 years of hip-hop, but they leaving out the city of Newark. Talk to me.
No doubt. I listen, Newark and New Jersey, period, very important part of hip-hop. If they don't know, they need to do some homework, do some research. We are prevalent in artistry when it comes to lyricism in New Jersey. And I can't just regulate it to Newark, you know, because it spreads out. You know, we got all kind of artists, different kinds of artists, and well-known artists from Trenton to Newark to East Orange to Plainfield to Perth Amboy. So I can name them all.
Yeah, but, you know, if your girl starts acting up, then you take – wait a minute. That came out of New Jersey too, didn't it?
Yeah. Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah. Hey, so – I'm so anxious here, as you can tell. You know, what motivates a person to be this anxious and excited this time of the morning? Because I have you here, and you're live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. This is the representative of the group, the hip-hop group, Artifacts. Ladies and gentlemen, please tell everybody the names of the other performers, and I know you guys lost one of the members of your group. Please talk to us about that.
Well, actually, is two members of Artifacts are gone. DJ Chaos, rest in peace, and my brother Tame One just recently passed this past November, and his anniversary has come. It was fast. The year has gone by fast. So we're coming up to that November 7th. And, yeah, man, you know, Elder Sensei, Tame One, DJ Chaos, Artifacts, you know, we made a lot of noise. Chaos got into the group a little bit later to his second album. But we made sure that his imprint was on the record. We treated him like our Jam Master J, or our DJ Scratch, so to say, as far as EPMD goes. But, yeah, man, I missed him. I'm keeping the groove going, traditionally keeping it still moving, you know. But it's definitely not easy.
Okay, I know it's not, but you know, I'm bold with this. You know, I hear your voice, and I got somebody over here in the studio. They don't believe, one of these college students. They don't believe that you can spit something. So I need you to represent. Give them just a little taste. Remember now, we on the college campus and we can't use no profanity.
See, now what I would do, and usually, I mean, I hear you, and I would do that, but the young man in the room, I would tell him, grab your phone. It'd be a lot easier for you if you do some homework this way rather than me spitting on the phone. Grab your phone. Anybody that's listening to me, you can go on YouTube right now and you put in Artifacts. The first thing you're going to see is Wrong Side of the Tracks. That was more than 20 plus years ago. Mm. If y'all want to hear me and Tame and at the same time, you can put that group name in Google and you'll see a whole bunch of stuff. Not that I don't want to do it, but I think it'd be a better representation of where me and Tame and Chaos come from than me spitting the 16 on the phone.
Okay, so part of my introduction, now check it out. Music is like poetry and has a message. And history is like a diamond that shines clear to the truth. So tell us some truth. Give us some poetry. Something, brother, please.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, I would say this. Where me and Tame come from and what we stand for is kind of a loss. What's the word I want to say? Lost thing, you know, where it's like, you say poetry, me and Tame, words that we use in a lot of these songs, especially Wrong Side of the Track, and that's the best example I can give you. Wrong Side of the Tracks is a song we made, and all because of Lord Jamar from Brand Nubian, he asked us a question, like, what are you guys about? What are you doing? We just happened to be at Sadat X crib, and we was about to start doing some music with them. And at that moment, we didn't have so-called a bio in our head of what we was about. So when he asked us that question, automatically, the words for the song came out. Jamar did the hook. When you listen to these words, it's really just me and Tame speaking about the things we did as kids growing up in a hip-hop world where we pretty much, you had to learn all the aspects, all the, we call them elements. So you have b-boying, graffiti, breakdancing, DJing, you know, beatboxing is also a part of the elements, and fashion, they say, is part of it. But, you know, we was doing this at an age where we didn't think we were going to grow up and be making records, too. But the song we chose to be our single was a song that was actually an ode to what we did as kids when, as far as graffiti. Tame and our group was a master on the street. When it came to that. So it only made sense for us to make a song about the thing that we did the most. And, you know, we came together as friends in 89, me knowing him just as a graffiti writer. I didn't know who he was. I just always saw his name. Just so happened, he knew people I knew. We met at a studio that of a friend of ours that I was working with, and we didn't look back since then. So because this is the thing that gravitated us together, we wound up making a song about it. and actually, a lot of songs that are about something don't wind up being the singles off of an album. It's always like so, like an anthem or street anthem, and we made a song about graffiti and it stuck, and we didn't know it was going to blow up either. We just figured, you know, we was two guys that we found out was doing the same thing everybody else was doing, and we put it out in the song.
You know, that's so interesting. You actually found yourselves, and you found your voice or your voices, and that's so important. People don't realize that there's only one authentic, identical voice, and that's yours. And each and every one of you out there in the audience, you need to be heard. Do not be afraid to use your voice. That being said, what do you think about this 50-year hip-hop celebration that's going on and taking place?
First of all, I'm just glad I'm here to see 50 years of hip-hop. That's first off, you know, in our area, you know, a lot of people don't make past a certain age, you know, so that's a testament to survival. You know, I've been to some celebrations this year. I haven't been to all of them, but I did see a lot of stuff, especially on YouTube, man. It just made me feel good to see our elders being celebrated. It made me feel good to see that, you know, a lot of females, a lot of people who were in this in the past didn't get a lot of shine. It's getting a lot of shine now. And I'm talking about, like, Sha-Rock being the first female MC on TV to see a female spit just as good as guys. You know, she's still here. You know, a lot of soldiers gone, but I mean, I'm talking about, like, you go to the Bronx, and I went up there and I saw Chuck D hosting and see Ultramagnetic on stage, KRS, all these different, and they added some new people too, new blood, but to see all this stuff is a good thing, because I think half of these guys didn't think that the celebration would be as big as they've been, you know, and to see it for them, imagine how they feel. So, you know, guys like Kay Slay, I wish was still here. Slay would, oh, man, he would be loving this right now. So, you know, this is all about in celebration of something that we've gotten into back in the day that now it's $1 billion business. No one knew this would happen. It would have happened.
Yeah.
Or, the potential.
Yeah, they call it an industry, brother, and I know you know. So you kind of, you know, drifted into that direction of my next question, and that is, where do you see the future of hip-hop going?
Well, now that part is different. Now, musically, it's going every which way crazy. But because the elders are still in charge and the people that's important are still in charge, we're able to tell these kids, like, this, what y'all doing is not the tradition. You know, you can see it when you see these award shows, and they start off with the old school cats first, and then they get into the future, and you see how the music changes. You see how the message is gone. You see how the music is not the same. It's not driven anymore. So there's nothing, nobody's doing nothing to separate themselves from the pack, because everybody sounds the same. And they just had a fact in the news. I saw that old school artists are selling out more tours than the young cats. And it definitely got something to do with the 50th anniversary, but we knew that was coming. I think these kids probably looking at it too, like, wow, like, and it's eating. You know what I'm saying? They out here making more money than us, doing more tours. They look at LL, Rockefellers, all this stuff is really, you know, geared toward us to say, you know, our age range still matters. This is not a young man's sport, you know. It's been a fight for a long time. But futuristically, I just think that the newer artists got to, you know, I would hope that seeing this 50th anniversary, they have to recognize that there's some things you can't steer off too far from. When you're talking about doing what we did to plant seeds for them to do what they're doing right now, they have to understand why it's a bridge, why there's a gap between our generation. You know, once we figure that out, then you start seeing older cats making music with younger cats, or younger cats understanding that, you know, we still here.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot in what you say, but I'm thinking of the name of your group, Artifacts. When you say Artifacts, that's a bridge to our history.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
Well, we went to Atlantic to have our first meeting, and they asked us, you know, what's the name of your group? And we told them, that's them. They was like, you know, that doesn't work for us. Like, it worked for me and Tame for years in the hood, because we knew what that meant when we made the name, you know. So we left New York, going back to Jersey, feeling a little defeated. We was really like, you know, thought that was going to be the name of the group. So we on the power train going back to Jersey, I looked at Tame. I don't know, it just came out. I'd say Artifacts. He looked at me, he said, yo. I was like, yo. So, you know, of course, ain't no phone, ain't no Google. We know what it meant. But we wanted to see it in writing. So we got home, put out the dictionary, the manual Google, pulled out the dictionary.
How about that?
pulled out the encyclopedia just to get the, you know, the term there. Where today, these little kids just type it real quick, get all the little facts. So we was looking at it, and like I said, I knew what it meant, but just to see it writing anything from ancient times being brought to new times, modern times, for study and learning and da-da-da. So I'm like, okay, we still B-boys. Even though B-boying wasn't so far away, it was going out of, not say out of style, but it was a time where, like, B-boying on the floor changed to where it was, like, now casual dancing in the club. You saw dudes dancing in the club, you knew who was a B-boy and who wasn't. So, you know, when this happened, you know, I said, these things that we still do, we still do it in music. So that became who me and Tame was when we made this name. So we go back to the label. We're like, yo, all we did was sit down. We was real prideful, too, like, Artifacts. And they would say, hey, yo, we like that. But now, even today, you hear that word all the time.
Right.
You hear it in movies, you see it on archaeological, National Geographic, whatever. It's a word that is said more than you may think.
Right.
And meaning of it in hip hop terms is, as they've said it, like right now, nobody do scratches like that in songs, like besides his Primo or our genre of music, like mainstream wise, no. They don't see none of this stuff, you know, so it's like Maintain wanted to put a focus on that because in 94 and on, no one was talking about the elements of hip hop.
Okay, so
until we came.
All right, so
I might be wrong, but I'm not.
Okay, so you know you're gonna be right because you on our show right now, and we're controlling the content. This is what I want you to talk to. I want you to talk to the young college student that says that they want to be a rap star. They want to go into the industry. How should they set themselves to go about it?
First of all, you got to believe in yourself first. This is not. This is a job, just like everything else. I hope people don't. But you got to do your job in doing this hip hop thing. How do you convince people to buy your records? You know, you have to be good at making records in order to make money off these records. So you have to be doing something very special that the next man is not doing to make people buy your music. That is the hardest thing that you can do to impress someone with your words to make them say, hey, yo, he's good enough that I'm going to go buy this. Production-wise, it has to be something that these cats can, you know, latch on to. Is different styles of hip hop, which one you want to be in. You know, you have to figure what you want to do first before you just go out and, you know, venture out and do records. You know, as we find out, everybody's not good at making records. I keep putting my finger on making records because this is the thing that you're doing to make money off of selling records. So you have to be very, very good. And it's just not about making the record. It's a full package. You have to go on stage. You have to be ready to go on stage. Your presence to be on stage is then what's going to help you make money for the records that you make. And I think that these kids today don't understand that part. You know, when we was coming up, you had somebody at a record label who was your A&R, and that was the person who basically to help you go in the direction that you need to go in. You get on the deal, you don't know all these producers. You don't know who's going to be the person you're going to work with unless you have the stuff already ready to go. But most of the time for us, it wasn't like that back then. So I try to tell cats to know what you want to do, know your crowd, know the lane you want to go in, and know where you're taking your music. You could be conscious, you could be mainstream, you could be underground, but it's whatever you're doing, you have to be dedicated to it. It's one thing to say you want to do it, but if most people that are successful are the ones that marry themselves to their craft, and that means that you have to practice. That means you have to constantly write. You have to affiliate yourself with producers that's going to give you. If you're not making your own beats, you got to get somebody else to do it for you. So, with all of this being said, these are the ingredients to make you successful. It's just like Big Daddy Kane said it on the last Drink Champs I saw him on. It's more to this than just you being a dope MC. It's a package. It's a package that you put together for yourself, for the world to hear you and accept you. But if you know you're not too good at it, do something else. But if you want to be good at it, you continuously write. Write different topics. Write different verses. Write different, whether, you know, you have to really treat it like school. And in order to be good at doing this, you have to do it just like if you're playing basketball, football, anything, you practice that. Because then that makes for a better package in your music. When somebody does come along, say they want to put you out or sell your music.
So if you don't know the business, you can also get the business, eh?
Right. You know, everybody learns from something. It's really that you can't teach someone to be an MC. You know, MCing comes from inspiration. MCing comes from hearing other people who say stuff that you might not have said, more clever than you, or metaphors, punchlines, whatever. You learn this from being a fan of hip-hop. And that means that you have to also get into all the different artists that are in hip-hop. So, you know, whether if you're an older guy like myself, if you're keen to the music, you're going to know everything today. You're going to listen to your peers from in the past, and you're going to know who's who today. And that's the thing I say mostly, that you know, be in the know. You You know, don't be so far away from the music where you don't know who's the new guy or who's the hot guy. But you also have to know who's your competition. This is a competition. We are competing against each other, but not so much say personally, but to put out this record.
What was some? What were some of the? Who were some of the artists that you kind of looked up to? Were your favorite?
Man, well, everybody got a top five. My top five ain't changed back in the day. So people like Chuck D and KRS-One, Rakim, Daddy Kane, Coogee Rap, like the same people that made everybody else want to rhyme. But like AG said it to me best. He said, you can tell, L, I could tell you wanted to be like a Rakim. You wanted to be like Big Daddy Kane. Because I'm listening to you. I watch you on stage. And, you know, then that's the thing that is the inspiration for me was that. How can I be like these dudes but be myself at the same time? And how can I know I got to master my own style. You can't be like everybody else. So, you know, that's pretty much where it comes from. Back in the day, you can't bite. You can't be like somebody else. You had to find yourself. So.
You said a lot. Finding yourself and finding your voice and being your authentic self is what life is about.
Right.
So I want to wrap up the interview by asking you, what haven't I asked you that you need to say?
Oh, man, I think the important stuff got said. You know, I think more or less I want to say that anybody that, you know, most of the time the questions are, what would you be your advice for somebody to do what you're doing? And, you know, believe in yourself, you know, and know what tools you want to use. You know, pick the good producers, and even if it's your man down the street, give yourself a chance. You know, put music together that you feel like you can put out against anybody else, whether it be radio music, whether, like I said, anything you pick, just be good at it. Because everybody else trying to do the same thing you're doing. How do you differentiate yourself from the next artist? And that's musically, and that's verbally in what you're saying. We all can't say the same thing. And we all flip these words around to be the way we want them to be, but this whole package is what you want to present to the world and who you are. That's the most that I can tell cats. You know, stick to your guns. Don't do something that the next person would do. Do what makes you happy, but mostly have fun. You know, and if you think this is something you want to do as a job, and I'll tell everybody the same thing. If you got a job already and you want to get into this hip-hop thing, you're good at it. Treat that as your hobby first rather than your job. When you treat this as a job, it doesn't always go the way you want it to go.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, L the Sensei from the group Artifacts from the great city of Newark, New Jersey.
Yes, yes. Say it again.
The great city of Newark, New Jersey. L the Sensei from the group Artifacts. And
yes,
I go
yes.
by the name of Dr. Richard Bombay on 89.5. We are Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Elder Sensei, thank
yes,
you so much for being here with us on this beautiful Saturday morning.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Hope this was good for everybody. Hey, y'all have a good Saturday, even though it's going to go raining and stuff. I appreciate the talk and be on your platform.
You know what I said? Get out and get baptized.
No doubt.
Elder Sensei, peace. Thank you again.
Peace, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. You know, it's been a blast. Quest Community Vibrations, Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio from the magical college campus of Seton Hall University, right? Live on 89.5 WSOU HD. I want to thank you for tuning in, and I want to remind you to tune in each and every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. And I want to thank the staff here at WSOU for assisting. Elder Sensei, Stephanie Barnes, thank you, everyone, including you, more importantly, the audience. And if you didn't learn anything here, find your voice, stick to your artistry, and be true to who you really are. And on that note, I say to you, have a beautiful, blessed day. Peace. See ya.
Good morning. This is Darrell Gunter, your host for leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, I'm so pleased to have back as our guest Mr. Jerry Andrews, who's the managing director and senior portfolio manager at Merrill Lynch. You know, Jerry, the first time that you came on, we were talking about your book, Common Sense, to get off of the financial roller coaster. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being back. Thank you for inviting me.
You know, I'm really looking forward to learning more about the progress that you've made on a